Again, we're on 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. And we just finished the first four chapters. And the two-word theme of those four chapters is
misplaced
faith. That's right. All right. And they were really dealing with their wisdom is greater than the apostles, and even greater than Jesus. So now we're transitioning still into a section where they were not asking questions, but another group of people had brought these questions to Paul to have them answered. And a lot of these things through chapter 6 are a little more pointed. Of course, they wouldn't ask about misplaced faith and all that condemnation that he heaped upon them in the first four chapters. And now, we're in this 5 and 6, we're going to deal with morals. Getting down to a little more specific items. And I asked you last time to think about definitions of moral, amoral, and immoral. And when we talk about moral, what are we talking about? Just a moral. They're things that are established, really, okay, within a country or a culture or whatever it is, and they're really established codes of conduct, whether right or wrong. It's just morals. Okay, just things, kind of a culturally controlled things. And you can see yourself, whether you're in Saudi Arabia or you're here or in South America, there's different kind of things that they view as right and wrong, okay, or acceptable and not acceptable. And when we talk about things that are amoral, what are we talking about?
Essentially, those without morals.
Yeah, well, that's right. Do what you want to do, okay? Amoral, you know, I have no strict morals one way or another, okay? Yeah, only the strong survive. What you get away with, you get away with. If they do it to me, well, I'll just do it to them. See, that kind of thing. No real responsibility. That's the amoral. Now, but we're going to be dealing with things that are immoral in this chapter 5. And immoral is that it is not morally good. It's evil or wrong when you don't adhere to those standards of that culture. That's the wrong part of it, I guess you'd say. Immoral. And that's one of the things we're going to be dealing with as we start this chapter 5. And we can see in those verses as it starts, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. Now, first question, the word immoral, or a form of it, occurs five times in this chapter. 1, 9, 10, 11, define immoral. And we define immoral as being that which is counter, that which is bad, that which is wrong in reference to that culture. All right? Or the thing that the person adheres to. Now, if we look at verse 1 and looking at that, it's actually reported that there's immorality among you. And some verses would put fornication among you. That someone has his father's wife. Kind does not exist even among the Gentiles. Now, even among the Gentiles in question 3 is dealing with what? Number 2. What is the sin in verse 1?
Someone has his father's wife.
Okay.
Adultery.
Incest. Okay. But incest will deal with it. Now, incest is what? Fornication between people who are very closely related. That is forbidden by that law. Now, the indicator in this verse that someone has his father's wife. What kind of connotation does that give you? The woman is the man's
mother?
Not, probably not.
Well, but
it's, okay, yeah. It's his father's wife. Okay, not his mother. All right.
And then so, how would that be incest?
Yeah.
Hmm?
How would that be incest?
Yeah.
Well, because it's still married to the father. It's part of the family. I'm just by law. It's a closely related relative. That's how it works. Okay. That's why I mentioned that a minute ago by law. Now, question three, even among the Gentiles, what's the severity of this incest, we'll call it? What's the severity of it, even among the Gentiles? What's Paul trying to tell them?
Well, Gentiles were considered like heathens. I mean, they were...
Yeah, and they even...
Gutter people.
This is pretty
this
bad
is
to
bad.
Them.
Yeah.
All right? And Paul is... Even though the Gentiles had their own moral problems, especially in Corinth, which we've looked at that in review of the culture and type there, this sort of thing even brought Paul to amazement that they were doing this. In utter disgust, and he was stunned that this sort of thing was being allowed inside of the congregation and widely known. Now, if Sandy, who's teaching tonight, if she was in here, and she came in tonight, and she had a big red mark on the side of her face, and you ask her about it, and she says, well, yeah, Doug gave that to me. And you ask me, and I say, yeah, I struck her for such and such. Something happened. Well, she comes in Sunday now, a few days from now. All of a sudden, she got a black eye. And you ask her, say, yeah, he struck me, and I deserved it. And you ask me, and I say, yeah, she deserved it. And we're both consenting, aren't we? See?
You'd be in trouble.
Okay. Now, this is an exact parallel to what this is, because I did go into sex things. All right? And we went to a Christmas party. And they asked, what's that black eye and what's that mark and this sort of thing. And we told them, yeah, I gave it to her. She said, yeah, he gave it to me and I deserved it. So next week, we're back in the congregation. She got her arm in a cast. I'm kind of packing all this together. Now... And she says, yeah, his iced tea was the wrong temperature, okay? And I deserved it to consenting people. And it goes on, all right? She comes in, she's limping, all kind of stuff happening, okay? And so is that acceptable in this culture which we're in right now,
no.
Morally?
No.
Is that really accepting in British culture? I would think not, okay? South American culture. So I kind of picked something there to deal with that issue. I didn't bring children into it and all the abuse we can do there and all that. But the point is, I was trying to bring home an example here of seriousness of this and something that would illustrate the point that all cultures do not think certain things are immoral and wrong. Who knows about what I did to her? In the congregation.
Well, everybody does if y'all talk about it.
Yeah, if y'all knew it in here, I guess what? You're going to go out there and tell the rest of them, aren't you?
Yep.
Right? All right. And because I went to those Christmas parties, things like that, the world knew, didn't they? That's what here is. They knew this thing was going on. But you know what? You're not didn't do anything about it. He said, well, that's Sandra and Doug's problem. He's teaching a class. She's teaching. You know, it's working out. Okay? They give on Sunday. He still leads prayers. He's still an elder. That's what's going on here in Corinth. Interesting, isn't it? Now, some people have some problems with it because that's why they brought the question from Chloe's house to Paul. See? And he wrote about it. But that's what's going on. Now, how does he deal with it? How does he deal with that issue? I guess you could pick other instances. But that's how I want to illustrate that. Now, point made?
Doug, you can use our culture and use that same scenario for people, especially if you don't have a good foundation to build off of. That scenario in this culture, in Churches of Christ or in denominations, would be, oh, well, my dad, you know, my mom passed away, so my dad remarried. It didn't work out, and she's my age, so, you know, when it didn't work out between them, I'm going to get with her, and they're divorced, and it's okay. We're seeing each other now, and if you don't have a good foundation, you know, we're not given all that information, but you can see how they could reason or justify, whereas you use beating as an example. You know, we all find that kind of repulsive, and I don't know where you go many places where people would be acceptable of that, but it seems to be, especially with something of a sexual nature, cultures seem to be able to explain it away, justify it, it's okay, it's something, and I don't know if it's because it's the passion of the flesh or what, but you know, that seems to be how at least some of them have done this, is they've just, they haven't mentioned anything, haven't said anything, it's not an issue, and obviously Paul's reprimanding them for that, but it seems to be that they can explain it away, and that's where a foundation, a really good foundation of what adultery or incest is.
And that's where we're going to the second point here, and actually you'll see more in the next chapter, too, chapter 6, that kind of explains some of this. And remember, what did these guys think of themselves in the first four chapters? Wise, weren't they? Informed. See? We know how to handle things. Here's the problem. Now, even among the Gentiles, I think I've dealt with that. Now, in verse 2, and you have become arrogant. Well, we've heard that word before in reference to these people. And have not mourned instead in order that the one who has done this deed might be removed from your midst. What is the correct attitude of verse 2 and why?
To correct the sin in amongst them.
Yes. That's right. For I, on my part, let's see, I have become arrogant and mourned instead. The one that done this deed might be removed from your midst. Now, they were arrogant because of their W word. Okay. And they knew it. They know how to handle things. But here's a problem that they haven't handled. And again, we'll see in the next chapter deal with some of this. Now, so they, in question 4, was the correct attitude of verse 2 and why? They must not be proud. Remember, he's accusing them of arrogance. They must not be proud or boastful or arrogant that they could do anything or okay any action because they had wisdom beyond the apostles. They had miraculous gifts. They thought they were something. You see that some days about people in political power at any level, school board or wherever it is, even elders, that they think they have so much power they're untouchable, that I'm above the rules, okay, the norms, the morals, whatever it is, okay? Preachers can be that way too. And you have to fight that feeling sometimes. It's good to be proud of what position you have. But the arrogance of saying, I'm beyond that. I'm untouchable. All right? Now, and we'll get back to the mourn here in a minute. They should mourn and agonize over this. Now, question number five. The apostle judged him according to your report. Would you make this judgment? Can we today?
Yes.
Yes, I answered yes. Any qualifiers?
If you deem the report to be true, you take into account who's sending it and what mm-hmm. what the report is.
Mm-hmm. This case, too, it's open facts, wasn't it?
Back to that trustworthy that
yes,
you talked about.
That's right.
Sunday.
That's right. So, yes, you can make these, but again, I want to have a little caveat on this. Be careful. Now, you know, I've found the best way to deal with some of this, if there's something said about somebody else, before I make a judgment, I go ask them. Hey, Doug, did you really beat her? I heard from inside the classroom they said you beat Sandy like that. And I say, yeah, I did. And Sandy agreed. I said, go talk to Sandy. Yeah, Sandy, yeah, he did. It's okay. All right? See the idea now? Have I confirmed it? Have I dealt with facts? I haven't dealt with emotions sometimes that carry you to a conclusion you may not want. But these are open facts, whether it's at the party outside of the congregation here, whatever it is. So you can deal with reports, can't you? All right? But be a little careful with that. It doesn't hurt to investigate. All right? Now, so I'm glad of that. And we can make those reports today. Now, they should have mourned in verse 2. That's an interesting point. They should have mourned. So we're looking around at Sandy and I's situation, and you all see it, and say, well, not my problem. Is that the attitude?
No.
He's brought in the word mourn here. What attitude is that? You care about where I'm going eternally? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say sorrowful.
Yeah.
No, and
grief?
Yeah. It's because it would show if they were mourning, then it's a recognition of the wrong. But in the example you're giving, it's like, no, yeah, I did this, but it's acceptable.
Man, I feel sorry for Doug and Sandy. Boy, I'm glad I'm not there in that household. Is that kind of more we're talking about?
No.
From the apostle?
Well, he was spiritually dying right in front of them, and they.
Yes. Yes. And so they would cause. He's trying to instigate in the minds of these Corinthians some A-C-T-I-O-N, isn't he? See? Okay. When you see my situation in Sandy's, well, I gotta do something. I gotta talk. I gotta get help. I gotta do something. Okay? Separate. I don't know something. All right? See the idea? And that's what he's trying to deal. Let's mourn for that. Let's grieve in our heart. Let's remember that their eternity is at stake. See, the idea is getting down with them. All right? If you want to add anything, that's fine. And in a sense, and that's just something immoral, but in a sense, if you see things that, or hear things, people's attitudes, do you consider their eternity of their soul? Say, do you care enough? See? And that's, I guess, the root thing, what he's dealing with. Let's get rid of that arrogance. You got a problem, okay? I'm better than them. They got a real problem. No. You care about the soul. And that's the idea of servants, isn't it? Say, stewards. Service to one another, working together, okay? Help each other to achieve heaven, but to be right with God and to be the good example, too. See? All right? Because guess what? You may be in that situation one day. You don't need help? Yeah? I'm not saying the exact situation, I'm just saying a situation needs help. Right? Can we solve every problem? Can we work at it? Yes. All right. That's all Paul's trying to do. You guys think about this situation. I want that man to think about the situation he's in. Now, how are we going to deal with that man? Let's see. Let's see. We're all going to mourn, and we're going to say, boy, what are we going to do? Guess what? We need to keep reading, don't we? Now, let's see if I missed anything here. I referenced in the next verses, and in those verses there, they should have mourned. And I picked up some, when you look at those verses, you see some things, some things in there about this mourning, okay? And I guess if you're working for the man's salvation, if your goal is for salvation for him, will the man have to do something? I guess I'm doing something, and he's got to do something. He's got to change what he's doing, doesn't he? Okay? Now, called repentance. But there was something else Paul wanted to look at those verses. Remove the sinner, which we just read, didn't we? Well, let's see, how do you do that? Baseball bat? All right. Well, use it on her. She consented to it, not me. You know, the whole situation you deal with it, don't you? Two consenting people. Remove that person. Now we're going to get to that. Let's see. Their soul, and it affects their relationship with Jesus. There's an influence on the other people. And the idea here is toleration. Tolerate what's going on, didn't they? Maybe they didn't approve, but they tolerated it. Maybe they approved it. Still tolerated it. And a bad reputation for people down the street that knew about it. Okay? You know what they do with that group? They do more than just sing without instruments. They let everybody beat each other up in there and bruises and broken arms. They don't care. Man, I want to go to that group. No. Mourn for that kind of attitude. Now, any comment along the way, please make it. Very appreciative of that. Change the subject a little bit. If we look at verses, it says 5, 9, and 11. Really 9 and 11. All right? Is it referring to another letter? I wrote you in my letter not to associate with them more people in verse 9 and 11, but I wrote to you not to associate with so-called brothers. Probably, maybe some other correspondence. Oh, well, I thought I had all the letters. Would it bother you if you didn't have all the letters? Because if you had another letter, would it contradict what you have? No. It better not. That's part of the canonization process. So don't feel bad sometimes, because you'll hear that there's missing letters. There's all kind of missing letters. You'll see it if you look it up on the internet. And they'll have them. You know? Well, what did Jesus do before he was, you know, before he was 12? Well, I got, there's whole life stories in there. They got it all. All right? What he ate for breakfast. Now, every day, all right? Now, I made that up. All right. Number 8. If you look at verses 9 through 11, let me read those. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or swindlers, with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. If he should be an immoral person, a covetous, an idolater, a reviler, a drunkard, a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. Now, in 9 through 11, what were they thinking, and what did Paul correct?
Immoral of the world.
Yes, they were thinking, oh, we don't even associate with anybody out there, basically, okay, the moral of the world. And Paul says what? That's not what I was talking about. That's right. All right. Hey, you people. I mean, let's deal with the congregation. Let's deal with the church, the Christians. Okay? Let's think about them. You know, if we got to deal with the world out there and immorality, well, we're going to run out of hours in a day.
Now, if they'd have thought things through from what they knew, what Paul was teaching, what they know of Christ, you're never going to convert anybody if you weren't able to deal with immoral people. Everybody was immoral at one point in time, and it doesn't seem to make sense. That doesn't seem to make sense. Maybe they weren't thinking that through.
Yeah. Or excuse for something. All right. But he still goes back to the point of the association. They just got their so-called groups mixed up, who not to associate with. All right. Now. And that's an interesting question that they brought up on themselves. If I don't want to associate with anyone in the world so as to be influenced by their conduct, where would I go today?
Nowhere.
Are there some religious groups that try to do that?
Monks.
Yeah. Monasteries. Was it over there? What Tibet? Well, they're up high on the mountains or something over there. Is that a monk, I guess? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to think of the name of the monks. Oh, where are they? Utah? You know what I'm talking about?
The Amish.
Yes.
Amish.
They keep to themselves.
Keep to themselves. They still associate the world somewhat when they come in to buy the groceries, but they still separate themselves, okay? And I can understand that. Don't we do that ourselves? We try to stay away from places that give us an influence and a problem, okay? Whether where we work, or what we see and go, or we do, things like that, okay? Or we buy things, maybe. Who knows what your decisions are. But the point is... it's still that, and we'll get to that in the next chapter, the ideas that promote that. If you're reading ahead, answering your questions, you know already the answer to that. All right? Now, number 9, I was going to go back, Now, number 9, write the phrases in this chapter that mean the same as remove the wicked man from among yourselves. 2, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. Tell me number 2.
Remove from your midst.
Okay, move from your midst. Okay. That means they're outside the building. Right? Okay. Could midst be socially?
Sure.
Midst. All right. What number 5, what are we talking about?
Delivered to Satan.
If they continue in their way, well, they're already there. Okay, if you made the decisions, the proper decisions with the proper data and all that sort of thing. Satan's got them. Mm-hmm. And it's their responsibility in the end to repent and change. I can't do that for them. I can't say I forgive you. Does that make everything okay with God if I say I forgive you? No. Okay? They've got to change within their heart, and God's got to see that genuine change. That God makes that decision. I can deal with only outward things. Okay? When I'm told and when I see. Now, number 7, which is interesting. Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our pastor also has been sacrificed. What's the idea here of the, I'm going to say withdrawal, Clean out the old leaven. Clean it out. If you have leaven in a lump, what happens to the lump?
It grows.
It grows, doesn't it? It mingles. Okay? It influences. For good? For what the intended purpose of the lump was? See? No, not for good. Okay? Slow process. Sin is sometimes a slow process. Tolerating sin is a slow process sometimes. So you have to be aware of that. And y'all have seen that analogy before, leaven in the old leaven. And number 9, not to associate. Well, this is a chapter full of these things, isn't it? Not to associate. What in the world is that? Is that just a church?
Socially.
Can I not, if I'm with someone who's, if I'm with this guy, all right, and he still has father's wife, and society doesn't like it, and we don't like it, he's not in our midst anymore. What can I do, or what can I say to give approval to what he's doing?
Hang out with him.
Right? And don't bring it up. Right? Hang out with him and don't bring it up. What does he think now? Well, it's not so bad. I got my buddy. You know, I guess. Yeah. See? God's got a way. This is God's way. Now, and number 11 is not to associate with. And number 13 is?
The wicked.
What kind of man?
Wicked.
It's wicked. All right. The wayward man? Confused? That's not the word God chose, is it? Wicked. And we can see that in other verses, Matthew 18. Here you go to the man, and what do you do? Or woman. Let's put woman in here. You go to the woman. Matthew 18. And you see a problem, you go to the woman, and you go talk to her. Okay? Maybe it's woman to woman. All right? Hey, you know, I saw you doing this, or you kind of said this the other day, or something, or, you know, you really beat your kids pretty hard, you know, or something. Who knows? I don't know what it is. Okay? You haven't been coming lately? Whatever it is, okay? I saw you somewhere, whatever it is. I saw you posting on Facebook, and boy, did you really write those words? See? And if you go and talk, and in Matthew 18, and she says, well, you're confused. Besides, I wrote that in Facebook. Yeah, I used all them bad words. All right? But I'm going to continue. I mean, who are you? Well, that's not, a believer in Christ wouldn't be that kind of influence. Wouldn't do that. Or like those certain pages or whatever it is. So what do you do now in Matthew 18? Take someone else with you. All right? That it may be confirmed. Now we go through the same round of questions again. Maybe a little quicker discussion this time if you can get in the house. All right? But God's way is to do that. Because now, what's the second person?
A witness.
A witness. Okay? Which has always been God's way. Because you can have a he said, she said kind of thing, or he, or she. But a witness is good. Confirm what was said. Now we do the same thing again with this individual, and they ends up the same way. Who are you? Alright? I'll do what I want to do. I think I'm right with God. I feel it in my heart or whatever it is. Okay? You clarify some questions and that sort of thing. So they say no. Go on. I'm not going to change. Okay? So what do you do now with it? Matthew 18. Yes. Take it to the congregation. We've done it here. Okay? We want you to know about this individual who's got a problem. We'll do it in a couple of different ways. They've got a problem, and the congregation, you need to be aware of it, and go talk to them. Okay? We haven't withdrawn or anything. Give them a talk and see what's happening. Okay? Whatever it is. Now, after a while, you would say, you know, that's this is the way that we're going to recommend withdrawal. Some, if you're an Amish, I think the word is shunning. All right, things like that. And is that God's way?
Yes.
Okay. And you see that in the first or 2 Thessalonians 3:14, as along with Matthew 18. So that's what Paul wants these people to do, is deal with this individual in that day, that way. Now, what's the message? What's the message that God want the Corinthians to understand after reading chapter 5?
Toleration is not acceptable.
Okay. Toleration is not acceptable.
He goes through and
because?
Well, he goes through and he talks about in verse 2, you've become arrogant. In verse 6, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Not, I wrote you not to associate, remove the wicked man. And stop doing it. Stop allowing it to happen. I told you and I told you again, and I'm telling you a third time. Stop allowing it to happen. It's an open sin. It's not like it's something hidden. Stop tolerating it. Get it out of my house. That's kind of the way
I
view it as.
That's right.
I mean.
And them old words came back. We got the word arrogance. And what was the other one you used?
Boasting.
Okay. Boasting. Two words to keep over and over. Plus wisdom. Over and over in these chapters. They had a problem. Now, again, all of them weren't that way, but there was some. Maybe more than some. But you got to deal with this guy. I guess I can say now that in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, This guy's situation comes up again there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened, you know? All right. And, I want to know the end of the story. Well, the end of the story is a majority, that's interesting, a majority of the people in that congregation, I don't know which majority or who it was, but a majority listened to Paul. His apostolic instructions from the mind of God. He listened to them. They listened to him. And they withdraw their associations from him. Did it help? It helped. The man repented. And you'll see in those verses, in that second chapter, that Paul said it's a rough road for him. You people be compassionate. And understanding and forgiving. He's repented, but it's not an easy road back. See? So you'll see the heart of Paul in that 2 Corinthians letter, in that section dealing with him. That's one good story, but it doesn't always come out that way. All right? Now, anything else in this chapter 5? Immorality. How you dealt with it. Of course, I told you the end of it. And the idea that there's influence on the rest of the congregation from these kind of tolerance of these kind of actions. All right? Any questions? Plain enough? Okay. Chapter 5. Now, clock in the wall says 4 minutes. Sounds good enough for me. But we're on chapter 6. And what is chapter 6 about. Well, I'm going to give you a hint. 1 Corinthians 5:12. But what have they to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are where?
In the church.
Of course, these are questions. Okay. And he asked a lot of these questions, okay, to get them to think and also to spotlight them, all right, on their particular deficiency, I guess you'd say. So when we say chapter 6, we're going to get in some other issues here that deals, again, with things they neglected to do, but they should be doing or doing a different way. And a lot of it's morality things. Well, actually, all these are morality things. Now, I want to read a few verses to prime you for this. And I'm going to start in Matthew 27. Forget, I got a correction on question 8. All right. Question 8 should be 9 through 11, not 9 through 12. All right. Matthew 27, 17 through 26. This is Jesus on trial. 26:17. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy, I'm hesitating there, they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Interesting. Then he released Barabbas for them, but after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to the crucified. Now, to be crucified. We're dealing with judgment here. We're dealing with the idea that there are issues. I'm going to read also from Acts 23 next. 23, 24, 25, 26. We'll talk about that next time. But in reference to judgments here, on Jesus, and I guess we'll think about Paul too next time. What did Rome care about when they made judgments? I don't want any riots. Okay? And I want to collect the taxes. Hey, that keeps things moving. Alright? And there's things that, listen, I'm Rome. And call me the civil authorities. Hey, did somebody murder somebody? Somebody steal? What's this, religious things? He's called to Christ or he's not to Christ or this. Or what's that got to do with me? See, you're going to see that in Paul. And you're going to see that somewhat here when we see chapter 6. All right, so be aware of that. As an intro to that, and we'll finish some other verses next time in Earth to Paul. Thank you all very, very much. Please be reading ahead. Stop right now. No stop. I need to do this.